Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. Tonight, episode 121, and we are going to be talking about tents, or more specifically, some of the key features you may think about when it comes to tents versus a hammock. Now, as most of you out there know, Ben and I, we kind of do love our hammocks and our tarps and stuff like that. They give us a lot of advantages, and you hear us brag about them and things like that. But there are some good points to why you might consider a tent or why individuals do choose tents over hammocks. So I know we just kind of scratched on it for a second before we started, but we're saving it for the show. And Ben and I, like most times, have zero scripting here. So coming right out of the gate, we could have conflicting opinions, but like everything else, it's not a bad thing. I mean, that just adds variety and spice, right?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so the question you literally just asked me right before we started, and let's start right there, and we'll just roll right into it. You said, given the choice, generally between a tent and a hammock, I would most likely pick a hammock over it. And my response to that was, I guess it depends on where I was going. And we kind of ended the conversation there, one, because, you know, our time was rolling up on hand here, which was the big one, to be perfectly honest. But honestly, great spot just to start this topic. That's kind of what this topic's all about. So what I was going to say is my opinion when it comes to a tent over a hammock is where you're going to go, especially if you're going to be in like fieldy areas where you have nice big open spots where you can lay a tent down and you're not going to get the rocks jabbing into your back. It's fairly soft ground. You have the room to really spread it out. That's kind of the biggest advantage and disadvantage to a tent, in my opinion, is it's an entire shelter that you can bring your stuff inside and you can kind of do your thing, but you need an area to lay the sucker out. You know what I mean?
The house fire. Yeah. No, I do it. You mean? And you do have to keep in mind, like, you have many sizes of tents. You can get some pretty big ones and pretty small ones. And the bigger they are, the more area you definitely need to lay them out. But you almost always need, at very least, enough flat, clean area to lay a person down in. So 6x3 or whatever is about the smallest style tent that I personally would go in. And there are times when finding, say for like the hammock in comparison, finding two trees a reasonable distance apart is difficult, right? Like you said, open fields, desert area up north, a lot of area, like, you know, there's not enough big trees in the areas you'll be. Shoreline, I know I looked at some trips last year that involved a lot of like camping on the beach. Unless you're going to go up quite a ways till you get back into the tree line, not always the greatest. What else? I went a couple spots last year where I had to use the tent. One of them was on top of a rock face, like just bare boulder, right?
Yeah, and once again, kind of the biggest advantage to a tent is if you can, as long as you get the open area, you can put them in some awkward situations. Now, the counter rebuttal to that, playing devil's advocate on that, is if you're bringing a hammock anyway, generally, you have a tarp to cover it. That's part of your shelter. Like I said, playing devil's advocate, anywhere that you can set up a tent, generally you can set up some sort of tarp shelter, given you have the right supplies. Like, I mean, it may not, you might be into a lean-to style shelter or something like that. But you can generally set it up, so that's kind of why I generally lean towards a hammock and tarp, just because, you know, you have not the best of both worlds, but you don't get the worst of either world. You know what I mean? As we're with a tent, what I like about that is literally it's an entire shelter area. If you got, you know, a somewhat sizable tent, if you're not going with a micro tent, which has their place too, don't get me wrong. But with the standard Canadian Tire tent, you can set yourself up in there to sleep. You can take your shoes off. You have a place to change inside. You can take your pack inside. You can take some of your gear inside. Like, I mean, even if it's just crammed right beside you, you do have that advantage if everything's kind of off the ground and you already have a ground sheet under you, hopefully. I mean, if you bring a second one, that's cool too. All that stuff. That's a whole other topic. But anyway, generally you're encompassed in some sort of shelter.
I think you mentioned it just then, like, changing is one of the huge things that I miss in a hammock. Because if you've ever tried to get changed in your hammock,
no.
It is one of the most difficult, painful, and tricky things you can ever do. And you wouldn't realize until you try it. Because as you're wiggling around and trying to get like pants up over your arse and all the stuff, and it's tipping and twisting and your half's getting tossed out, it's like riding a bucking bronco, you know what I mean? Like
And that's
it's
why
fun.
I've never actually tried it. Like, to be fair, I can see where this would cause horrendous problems. I'm the stu I don't know if I'm stubborn or conceited. I don't know which one it is, but even every time I go out, I'm just like, nope, not even going to attempt that. I'm just getting out of the tent, and I'll just change, or not out of the tent, out of the hammock, and I'm just going to change beside it. You know what I mean? I got the tarp around me, so whatever. The general public's not going to see anything except for like the knees down, which you're going to see in a pair of shorts. But I mean, I'm just like, nope, screw it. I'll get wet. I'll get cold. I'll get whatever. I'm just getting out of the hammock because otherwise everything is going to be wet. Everything's going to be cold. You know what I mean? Because I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to do like you said. I'm going to go pull my pants up and the whole works of us are going to end up on the ground. Or I'm going to rip through the bottom of the hammock or because my multi-tool will catch or something just outrageously stupid is going to happen. And I know this. I know how I am and I know my luck.
And the other thing is, if the weather's kind of crappy, I mean, you can be very comfortable and especially solo in a hammock. But if you're with one or two other people, and you're hoping to have a bit more of a social time, unless you put your hammocks really close together and rig your tarps up, like unless you really plan for it, and conditions aren't always ideal for it, it is harder to be as social in a hammock. I'm not saying you can't do it, because you can do anything if you put your mind to it. But you can get two or three people sitting in a tent with a light and have a great conversation, see each other, pass around a drink. You know, it's to me it. The tent does give you that social aspect as well as some levels of comfort. Like I said, getting dressed is a huge one. You also kind of pointed out like bringing your whole backpack in with you. So when you're going through your gear, you're in a nice, clean, dry, comfortable environment, and your backpack's there with you. So you can get all your gear and stuff. It's there. You can rummage through it. Not that it's not possible with hammock, it's just a different experience and oftentimes an extra step or two.
No, for sure. And I mean, once again, once you get a little bit more experience in with the hammock, you learn you can potentially hang your bag from the tree under your ridge line. It still may be covered under the tarp, but it's not the same experience. And the other thing, based on all these facts, that makes a tent perfect for first-time campers, especially like younger couples and stuff like that, early 20s, late teens, whatever you may be. And you just want to try camping, you know what I mean? Like that dating camping scene. It's definitely better in a tent instead of trying to figure out how to rig up two hammocks so you can, because most, let's not beat around the bush, you're going out there to get some, you know, private time and snuggle with your significant other, be what it may, right? You're not going to really get the intimacy in hammocks that you're going to get in a tent. It's a definitely more intimate environment because you are literally in the same kind of shelter area, you know what I mean? So if you're looking for that kind of thing, that kind of puts a point towards the tenting thing. Now, as you get older, like Ben and I, you realize that nonsense has nowhere to go in the woods, and you get your hammock and you're good to go.
Hey, I gotta say one thing though. You can be very intimate in the hammock. It's just that it's probably more intimate than you really want to be, because you're just, if you try to two people sleep in a hammock, and I've seen people do it, you're just pushed against each other constantly. Like there's no escape. There's
Even
no.
two person hammocks, they're not two
Yeah.
person hammocks. They're wide hammocks for one person.
There is a couple of
Yeah.
exceptions, but yes. For the most part, I 100% agree with you. A double hammock is not better for two people. It's just a bigger hammock for one person. And it has its advantages. I have a double hammock. It's awesome. It's huge. It's so comfortable. But it's still not two-person hammock, in my opinion.
It's better for you and the dog. Gives them a little bit more room to get down by your feet.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, all joking aside, I mean, that is a big thing. A lot of people do buy these double hammocks and the baseline double hammocks. Because when I was first shopping for hammocks, I seen, oh, double hammock. I'll buy that. It's got a higher weight rating. And if Melissa wanted to, you know, come hammock camping, we can just jump in the same hammock. Bought the hammock, realized we are never going to be in the same hammock together. It's just like sitting in it, maybe. Like if you know, throw it in lounge mode or whatever, and you just want to sit and rock, perfect. It's great. But to actually go sleep, not a chance, because you can't move. Like, whatever you commit to laying down, that's where you are until somebody figures out how to get out of the hammock. And God forbid that your zippers face each other. Because I screwed up and I bought that left-handed zipped hammock, right? So if I sleep on the right-hand side, she sleeps on the left-hand side, we jump in a hammock, that's it, we're done. Like, that's where you'll find us in 100 years, starved to death, nothing but skeletons and sleeping bags. Because we're not getting out. It's just not happening. Like, and that's one of the things you may want to think about with a tent. We've talked about the giant mammoth bag that I got hanging on my wall over here. Mel and I talked about it in a previous episode. That's another thing that you're not going to be able to use in a hammock, even with the bigger double hammocks and stuff like that. They have nowhere to go. So in a tent, you do have the option to have like one of those mammoth sleeping bags, which is great for us. Instead of carrying two sleeping bags, we just throw it in the tent. Three of us can crawl into it. Me, Mel, and the kid can all get in there, and we're perfectly happy with one sleeping bag. You know what I mean? And it gives us that extra room. We can put the air mattress up. And that's kind of another good thing to think about with tents, too, is, like, you do have some options if you have potentially, like, hip and back problems or anything like that. I mean, depending on how far down this rabbit hole you want to go, especially if you're doing, like, drive-up camping, you can take, like, one of those bed-in-a-bags if you have a decent-sized tent and just set it up inside. And it's basically like you're sleeping on a bed in a tent. You know what I mean? So.
It's exactly like your sleeping.
It's exactly like it.
A really good point there. Here's an interesting fact that I when I was following the ultralight campers, and that's where one of the things I got into when I got the hammock, and I had the original assumption that the hammock was the more ultralight had the advantage on it. But I've since seen quite a few people prove me wrong, where they have a lighter tent setup than an equivalent hammock setup.
And I'm going to go out on a limb here and say probably because with a hammock, I assume you're taking into account like the entire sleep system. That's going to be your sleeping bag, your hammock, underquilt, tarp, the whole works. All of those things individually, I think might offer you a little better like thermal barrier and stuff like that, but the tent, it kind of incorporates your tarp. And I mean, a lot of those solo tents, they fold down to the same size as what your hammock tarp would anyway. You can get away with a sleep pad instead of an underquilt, which if you can get some decent inflatable sleep pads that got good R values, like R 4.5 and 5, I think I might even seen some 5.5s that were still, you know, considered like ultra light camping stuff. And yeah, your sleeping bags are relevant because you're gonna have that with both of them.
Yeah, and you can get those similar type mattresses for hammocks, but they're bigger, and that's where it sort of starts to tilt, because if you want an air mattress in a hammock, because the sides come up, you need those hip wings to go out a little bit further, so they're actually a bit bigger. Or the underquilt, you want a good underquilt, you're looking at, you know, down. And it's compressible, but then you need a top quilt. So it's like having 1.5 sleeping bags in total. Like, your top quilt and your underquilt is actually more than the average sleeping bag. So now you have more material. Like, you didn't actually lose, you actually have more. Now, you know, is there a comfort advantage? I do find the hammock a little bit more comfortable, but that's kind of me. I'm a bit picky about how I sleep, but all said and done, you can sleep if you're comfortable on the ground. And I mean, I have been comfortable on the ground. You can actually go out, be just as comfortable as a guy in a hammock, and shave off a few ounces, if not in the neighborhood of a pound or two. But going with a very ultralight tent, ultralight pad, and a decent little sleeping bag, in comparison to somebody on a hammock trying to run similar type stuff, just to get that extra layer of comfort, you know what I mean?
No, I 100% get what you mean. And one thing I'm going to throw out there, maybe unpopular opinion, popular opinion, I don't know. What's your 2 cents on this bed? In a tent, I find, and I'm not talking gale force winds here, but wind doesn't bother you as much. With a hammock, if you don't have a good underquilt and stuff like that, it can kind of get under you and it kind of gives you cold pockets, you know what I mean? as we're with a tent, you're already kind of on the ground. Not much can get under you. So as long as you get some kind of good underlay of some sort, I find the wind is less of an issue because it doesn't seem to like come in the tent under the fly and stuff like that. It tends to just kind of go over the whole dome if everything's packed up properly.
Yeah. You okay, everybody?
Oh, yeah. Mel came in, so she was just, I'm not sure what she was up to.
Yeah. No, you're right. The tent will tend to just deflect the air over the top of you where the hammock, you know, it goes around you and it can steal the heat from under you. And the other thing is, in a hammock, you're generally attached to a couple of trees, and those trees are also swaying in the wind. So you do feel that effect a bit more. And if you're not comfortable about the trees in the area, with a hammock, you can, or a tent, you can just go, like you said, out into a field and be away from all those. With the hammock, you're still stuck with trying to find two surfaces or two anchor points that will allow you to be suspended above the ground.
Now, see, I kind of like the rocking, in all honesty. Yeah, I find it's like, you know, you go right back to your infancy stage, like you rock babies to sleep. I sleep like a baby. See, that's wrong. I like the old opinion. I screamed all night and pooped my pants or whatever it was. But no, I sleep very soundly with that whole rocking thing. I love that about a hammock.
Yeah, and a gentle breeze or even a mild gale, I guess, you'd probably be quite good. But can you picture much heavier winds, like hurricane force style winds?
No, see, that's the thing. In hurricane style winds, chances are I come out of the hammock anyway. My tarp would go into a very low-laying position to try and get that wind to go over me, so you're back down to basically sleeping on the ground anyway.
Yeah. And that's true. You can dial your hammock very close to the ground. In fact, you can have it touch the ground if you want it, just a little bit, and still be somewhat comfortable. And then get your tarp, you know, as flat as possible to avoid the wind, but then you've really given up a ton of the other advantages, like even the ability to sit up and stuff, right? Mm.
And that is kind of the nice thing about, I guess, the tent, once again, is you do have that, most tents, once again, I'm not talking like the individual ultralights, but even, like, once again, Canadian Tire tent, you do have that advantage that you do got a little bit more room above you, generally, when you're, like, when you take the shelter into effect altogether. With a hammock, as long as you come up off the ground, you're standing beside it, you're going to have lots of room. But it, like me personally, my tarp over my hammock, usually when I'm laying there, I could reach my hand up and touch it. You know what I mean? Because I like to use the ridgeline to hang accessories or my phone or whatever. You know what I mean? It kind of becomes part of my storage system. I guess the easiest way to say it, it's just far enough away that if I zip up my screen, it's not touching.
Yeah.
Steve, so what did you specifically want to know about tents and hammocks, Steve? I did see your comment when you first came on. Hopefully you're still with us there. I see our user count jumps up and down. But if you're still hanging there with us, Steve, is there anything that we can answer specific for you? Because, I mean, Ben's got a pretty good knowledge base to pull from with hammocks. And if there's anything that you have specifically, we'd love to answer that for you. So, one of the things that I pulled off today, that I've already been showing off to Ben, is I actually did purchase kind of a tentish item. Actually, I purchased two of them today. You only know of one of them, Ben. I purchased two separate tent setups today. One more for you and I, because we talked about doing this before, which was getting the poncho-style pieces, which, you know, form a tent. In this case, it was the Polish, how do you say that word, Ben? Lviv. However you say that. Anyway, I was able to snag a set of Polish Lvivs, and it came everything. Like, they're in great shape. It's got the poles. It's got the pegs. Like, full working setup. So we now have that one in the bag. That's chambered for somewhere in the future. Ben and I will go out and we'll attempt this. And I bought an eight-person tent. The most bougie tent you could possibly imagine. It's like an eight-person tent. It's got a seating area out front that's screened in with a foot lounge and stuff like that. And the only thing it had was one of the seams on the rain fly needs to be sewn back in. So I was like, oh, I can do that. And I picked it up for like $100. So we're talking about going camping with Willie. And this is where this story is leading to. We wanted to start doing some exploring with Willie. Willie is just 5. And as any of our listeners know, she has autism and stuff like that. And it creates, I don't want to say a unique circumstance or anything like that, but it creates a few extra considerations. And we're hoping this thing with the screened in room and stuff gives her that space where sometimes she just wants to get away from bugs. And you know what I mean? Don't we all? But I mean, when it comes into sensory issues and stuff like that, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And this will give her that ability to be able to go in and get away. So that's something else you can think about with tents. If you do have children, significant others, and stuff like that, that potentially have sensory issues or, you know, any other extra considerations that you may want to take in there, it's definitely a good way to go because they do give you some options with that that you might be able to get if you play it around enough with like hammocks and tarps and stuff like that, but it's almost like out of the gate ready with a tent. And that's the beauty of a tent too. You just set it up and it's done. You don't really have to think about what kind of tarp lay you want to do with it. You don't have to think about how, well, do I want to, you know, the hammock looser or tighter? Do I want a ridge line? Do I not want a ridge line? It takes a lot of the guesswork out for you. It basically can only assemble in one way, and once it's
Yeah.
up, that's what you got. Okay, Christian. Hey, how's it going, Christian? Christian's a tent guy personally. Hammocks have to fully rely on there being trees present versus tent where you can place it anywhere. Just my two cents. And actually, Christian, we did mention that a little earlier in the episode here. It was one of the first things we actually pointed out was, you know, hammocks do rely on having somewhere to hang them up. And the counterpoint we made on that, which is, you know, playing devil's advocate, is if you're taking a tarp with your hammock anyway, generally if you're down to that, you can do some sort of tarp lay, and but you're still sleeping on the ground. So ultimately, you know, the tent probably would come in better there, and it's not going to be as good a setup as a tent, but it gives you kind of double uses without being the worst of either. But
And
no. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I have seen a single tent or single tree hammock setup.
All right, now you got me curious.
There are two ways you can do it. I've seen two. One is if you have a larger tree with a large branch coming out, sometimes you can die to a branch and the trunk of the same tree.
I could see that.
That one's pretty rare, but the other one is all you need is basically a 6 foot log. And you stand it up, and then you run your line down to the ground. So you tie it to a tree, up over that log in a standing position, and then run the rope down to the ground. And believe it or not, you will stay upright. It just won't tip over to the left or right. You can do it. So there are ways to deal with that.
I smell like this could be a video, Ben. Uh-oh, the gears are turning. Do you trust
Well,
your own?
I was also reading really big monkey here. So yeah, Dave. Yeah, swamps and wetlands require hammocks. So I do a lot of canoeing and stuff. Like I love canoeing and kayaking on rivers and lakes and stuff. And I do find that oftentimes I'm more easily able to find a spot to put my hammock than my tent. That being said, it usually doesn't take much more effort to find a spot that you can set up your tent.
Now, I have a question to Dave. Might actually have some info on this. I don't know. I really want to try those hammock tents, like those 3-point hammock tents. Yes, I realize you're getting to it even a little bit more special of a situation where you're going to find three trees appropriately spread out apart. But I feel like that kind of gives you the best of both worlds. Or
It
maybe it's
does.
not.
I've looked at them quite a bit, and I have been tempted to buy ones over the years because part of me really likes the concept, and other part of me says it's a gimmick. But
And that's where I'm at. I don't know which one it is. You know what I mean? Like, it could be really awesome, or it could be the worst of both worlds. Like, you know, you got both, then neither one is great.
I do know that like a lot of them have like some pretty strong like ratchet straps to tension them down. So you're probably definitely not going to call that your ultra light option. You know what I mean?
No, these are definitely bougie things. Have you seen the price tag on them? Yeah, exactly, Dave. They're like $1,200, man. They're not a cheap tent or hammock or whatever we a hammock tent.
Yeah.
Just spend some good coin to get a good reliable one. And that's kind of where I'm at too, Christian. I've seen these hammock tents that we're chatting about go for as little as $200. And I can guarantee you with that, you're going to get what you pay for.
Well, we got Canadian Tire, and they were selling them for a while. And we know every now and then they sell stuff at a ridiculously cheap rate.
Yeah, once again, I feel, in my own personal opinion, I feel like this is probably a product best left to somebody that's researched it a bit, you know what I mean? Especially if you're down in the Georgia swamps and stuff like that, like Dave was saying there. If you're going to trust these things to not fall in the swamps in the middle of the night and become gator food, I'm probably not going to buy it from Big Box Mart, you know what I mean? Like, I'll probably spend the extra money and be like, nah, I'll take my chances with the extra couple $100 and know that my butt's not going to fall through this in the middle of the night. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm 100% wrong. Maybe this is, you know, an unrealistic opinion. And I welcome people to give me their 2 cents. I've never been in one. I have never seen anything other than pictures and videos of these things. And they look hilariously fun. Because if nobody has pictured this, if you're listening to the podcast, you don't know what we're talking about, just literally go to Google, throw in hammock tent, and you'll see what we mean. They're like these triangular tents. They hang between three trees. But it's a hammock meshed with a tent.
They kind of have a flying saucer look feel to them because they have like a hatch in the middle, and I think there's even a ladder you can drop down from some of them.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like they're cool. They're unique, but I know nothing about them, honestly. But now something I was thinking about with hammocks. One of the advantages you do have to keep in mind over tents is if you do find two good trees and you're kind of adventurous, you can start stacking hammocks in the same two trees. You know what I mean? Like, where was it? I just seen it online the other day. They set the world record for the most hammocks set in the same set of trees or something like that.
Right.
It was kind of cool. And it was like, it was a lot. I can't remember it. It was just kind of, you know, came through my news feed somehow. You know how when you open up Firefox, I guess it is, and it has like the news articles related to you, and I just happened to glance at there. So
yeah, someone here asked about the rooftop tents, and I have looked at them, I have thought about them, and I have kind of convinced myself that I don't want one.
Okay, I actually have an opinion on these. Old Roberto has a little opinion on these. I don't know if I ever mentioned it on the show or not, but I recently bought a Ford Ranger, one of the newer Ford Rangers. And one of the options you can get with them is you can get these. It's not really it's a rooftop tent. You get like a rack that goes on the back box and the tent sits on top of that. And they had one of these things set up at a truck show. So old Roberto got the inclination that he was going to go check this thing out. Here's what I have learned. If you weigh anywhere around human sized and there's more than one of you, the one I was in anyway, and they potentially, you know, brand names and stuff like this, but this was the Ford backed one being put on by Ford on one of their truck shows, felt rickety as hell. I'm not going to lie. Like, I got up in there and I'm like, so what's the maximum weight limit to this? And they're like, oh, it's like 400 pounds. I'm like, well, damn, I'm more than, you know, like I'm almost three quarters of that myself. If I get up there with a big backpack, I'm going to collapse this thing. So anyway, he's like, oh no, you'll be fine. Get up the ladder. First thing, the ladder, climbing up to this thing. Sketchy. Terribly, terribly sketchy. Second thing, once you get to the top, the way these ladders usually latch on, it's just two little hooks. Even sketchier when you're 10 feet in the air and you're trying to transition from a ladder to a sketchy platform. And then last thing, once you get in this thing and you're on the platform, picture like 2x10s on staging that feels 200 feet in the air. And that's basically how you're going to feel all night. Like you're literally laying on eggshells. You'll kind of like move and it creaks and shifts down and you're like, well, this is it. This is how you die. And I didn't have a good experience with it. Now, granted, there's some aftermarket ones that say they're good for like 1,000 pounds and up. Those probably a lot more sturdy, a lot more price tag to them, you know what I mean? I think this Ford accessory one was $599 or something like that. You buy it from the Ford dealership and they'll install it, and maybe it was more. I can't remember. I might be getting it confused with the one that goes in the truck box. But anyway, it wasn't significantly expensive compared to what I thought it was going to be. And then I went online and looked at aftermarket ones, and they were like 2 to 3 times the cost, but they were also guaranteeing 2 to 3 times the performance. Like I said, going from 400 pounds to 1200 to 1500 pounds, being able to hold their weight. And I would be a lot more inclined to give a real opinion after I tried something like that, because as we know, sometimes dealership accessories, they're kind of gimmicky. And I don't want to say that in a bad way, but they're tailored to, what's the best way to explain this? The product I was in was geared towards somebody that lives in a city, and I'm trying to mean no offense here, don't get me wrong, I just, this is what I picture in my head. Like somebody that lives in a city that wants to go camping over the weekend. You know what I mean? Like you're just gonna drive out to a campground, you're gonna sleep in the back of your truck, you're gonna cook, roast a few marshmallows, you're gonna pack her all back up in the morning, you're gonna go home. That's kind of what it felt like it was being tailored towards for me. Which is, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a complete niche in its own. It's just for like, would I go out for 7 days and sleep in this thing? Maybe the first night until it fell apart and then I'm sleeping in the back of my truck is kind of what I got out of it. You know what I mean? I'd probably much rather just buy a cap for my truck and throw an air mattress in it, and I would be twice as good off and way lower to the ground. But
Well,
anyway.
see, you kind of hit on one of the points that I really have with this is if you had a cap and just slept inside the cap and you had to move the vehicle, you have no issue. Like, just close the cap, drive away, sleeping bag, all that laid back, so you're going to be fine. But with a tent sitting on top of your vehicle, if you need it to go quick, your tent's gone. Like, if you had to take off for whatever reason, an animal attacked you, some idiot drove up the road screaming and yelling and shooting his gun, or someone called you up and there's an emergency and you have to get home like right away. Like with the rooftop one, if you're having trouble and trying to fold it all up and get it put away and get everything out of it so it will fold up, it seems to me to be a bit of a hassle. Where at least with the tent on the ground, if I have to, I can leave it there, go away, do my thing, and come back and get it later. So I've always kind of been leery about anything that you can't detach. Like I used to have a trailer. I loved that. I could detach the trailer, go along and still have my vehicle for the day and have a camp set up. With this, your camp being on top of your vehicle, to me, it's a couple of disadvantages and not a huge advantage. And I really see your thing. Like you're high up, which I guess is great if you're avoiding animals, but we haven't really had problems with that. But then you're high up, like getting up in the middle of the night to try and pee in a pitch dark.
Nope.
I wonder about that. I don't know how.
Well, I got an easy answer for that, Ben. It's called depends. You go to Watton's, you go down to the adult. Because I'm telling you right now, that's getting out of that thing in the middle of the night without being able to see. I was literally doing it in a fully lit enclosure inside with people watching me and medical staff nearby. So.
medical staff nearby.
They always have MFRs at shows, man. They're hiding everywhere. You just got to know where to look. But no, you know what? They serve a place. In all honesty, to answer your question about the rooftop ones, they serve a place. It's a niche, I think, my opinion, and a niche I don't fall into. So to me, I wouldn't recommend them solely based on I'm a bigger guy. I'm almost 300 pounds. I'm not going to lie about it. Getting up into it felt rickety. You asked if it felt like I was going to go through it. It felt like I was going to go through it. It felt like it was going to topple over. I mean, it just felt incredibly unsafe. I probably wouldn't have slept at all that night because I'd just be laying there in terror waiting for something to snap. And yeah, if you did have to pee or go number two in the middle of the night, like, you might as well just throw yourself out of the tent and do it on the ground because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, and you're right. It does have a place, and some people really love it, and they enjoy it. And a lot of these guys that do like the overlanding have it, and that allows them to keep a lot of that stuff outside their vehicle, so they can have that the stuff they want in the vehicle in, and they get they set up for the night, they get out, they sleep, they get back, they take it all down and go. I don't see for my personal uses how taking
You want to see? That's what's going on.
taking a hammock or even a tent and setting it out outside of the vehicle wouldn't be, potentially less work and just as convenient. The only thing is, I guess if you have wet ground or you had wildlife you were trying to avoid, and getting up high kind of gives you some of the protection, say maybe a hammock could give you, while also giving you a smaller footprint.
Well, so my truthful opinion on all this is, if you're going to spend the money on one of these rooftop things, like Ben said, you're getting all these disadvantages. For a truck, buy a cap, throw a air mattress in the back, and literally, I mean, a cap for a truck going to run you a couple hundred to $1,000 and a good rooftop tent's going to run you about the same. You're going to pay the same amount of money, probably a little less, and you're going to lose all the disadvantages. You know what I mean? You're still going to be inside a vehicle. It's still going to be an enclosed area. You're going to have that additional animal protection. You can get good caps that actually have windows that open with screens and stuff in them. If you have a rear window, you can get caps that have an opening that goes through the rear window, so you'd still have access to like any of your charging ports and crap like that inside your vehicle. I mean, to me, that's the more reasonable way to go. I'm actually trying to figure out if I can put a cap on my truck and sleep diagonally in the box slowly for that reason, because the Ranger I got has the four doors. It's got a real short box. I think it's 5 feet. And I need to try and figure out if I lay diagonally, if it's anywhere around 6 feet. You know what I mean? But that's, I got the truck knowing that was going to be an issue, so whatever. With an SUV, same kind of deal. Lay down the back seats. You can buy air mattresses that are built for SUVs that fit around your wheel wells and stuff like that. And just sleep in the back. Same kind of thing. If you have power windows, you can put down the rear windows, get a crack, buy some netting and some magnets. I seen a guy do this at the drive-in, and I thought he was literally the most brilliant man on the planet because it's so simple and I never thought of it. A couple magnets and some screen mesh from Home Hardware, and he just literally magged them over his windows. Put the windows up and down, completely screened in, let the air in, no bugs can come in. And I mean, for like $6. Amazing idea. Same kind of thing. Put your seats down in your SUV, your crossover, stuff like that. You can sleep in the back. You got all the protection from the vehicle. If you got to get up and go, throw your shoes on, swing your legs out, jump in the driver's seat and drive away. You can sort the stuff out in the back later, but it's all with you. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Did we get any controversy with that?
No, actually we haven't. I was kind of expecting it, but no. And you know what? P-jugs are such a... What's the best way to put this? P-jugs...
I can't do it.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I know people that do it, but... And I know a lot of truckers that do it, because I did long-haul truck driving for a little while, and I they all talked about it and stuff. Problem is, nobody ever cleans them up, is the downside. One, they're kind of weird to do. Two... Don't be gross about them. You can drive along the highway here, the 104, and you'll see them down the roads. And it's just gross, man.
I know guys that do hammocks and they pee in a jug because they just can't be bothered to get out in the night. And I got a couple of considerations. One, and I guess you just get a much bigger jug, but what happens if it starts to fill up? Like, what if the pee is a bit bigger than you expected? Because... I don't know. And the other thing is, I don't know if, like, get the angles and stuff.
So it doesn't spill back onto you?
Yeah.
That's the big thing I thought about.
But, I'd rather not pee to bed. So how about I just get out?
Or if I'm going to pee to bed, I'm going to commit to it. Like, there's a difference. I'm not going to do it with extra steps.
I gotta wet the bed. I'm just gonna do it. I'm not gonna bring it. Yeah.
Let's see here. But yeah, I mean that's kind of our feelings on that. But I mean, long story short, if you guys kind of zoned out and you just want to zone in now. Tents serve a purpose. You know what I mean? Like, they're not bad. Don't ever think that Ben and I knock tents. We have a preference. Our preferences happen to be hammocks because Ben gets a better night's sleep in them. I like them because for a solo adventure or going with Ben or something like that, we each kind of have our own little spots. It's just easier to set up and easier to maintain. And I like being up off the ground because most of the spots I want to go is like I want to go into the woods and find a place to sleep, and I don't want to have to rely on trying to find a large footprint to put a tent down. Now, if I was going to a campground or something like that, good chance I'd throw a tent in the back. You know what I mean? Because with a tent and decent air mattress, I sleep like a baby on the ground too. But for going in the woods doing adventures, I like the hammock just because it gives me. I generally expect there to be trees. We always kind of do a Google Maps view of where we're going to go, and you can kind of tell if there's going to be trees. You can think there's a field, but you get there and realize it's full of rocks. But if there's trees, generally you can find somewhere to set up your hammock or you can make something work. And that's just our preference on it. But tents do fill a purpose, and they fill a great deal of purposes for different people. If that makes any kind of sense. So don't ever think that they're bad. Don't ever think that, oh, you know, Ben and Robert or whoever said that hammocks are better than tents. I'm just going to get into hammock camping. I don't really like how it feels to sleep in one, but I'm going to stick with it because it must get better. You know what? There's people out there that just don't like sleeping in hammocks. They just don't. They don't have the preference with it. I mean, if you sleep on your side, if you're a heavy side sleeper, you can do it in a hammock. But for me, anyway, maybe it's the weight involved. You don't do it for long periods of time. It's like you just kind of relieve a little of your back pressure for maybe a half hour, and then you're back on your back. Generally, in the sleeping or in a hammock, you are going to be on your back. So if you hate being on your back to sleep, hammock's probably not going to be for you. If you are a belly sleeper, hammock's definitely not going to be for you because you're going to get up in the morning and some weird creaks and groans are going to come out. So there are some disadvantages to a hammock just in your sleeping position that you have to keep into mind. That, you know, in a tent, roll however you want. You're on the ground or whatever, you know what I mean? You have no restrictions there. So don't ever think that one is better than the other. They both fit a niche. They both fit a need. They both fit a group of people. Just figure out where you land in that group. Maybe you want both. Like I keep both. As I said,
Oh,
I
yeah.
just picked up a bigger tent for us because one, we wanted a little more area for Lily to run around. If we want to invite friends, now we don't have to potentially bring two tents. We could put them all in one tent, and maybe use the extra money from booking a spot or buying another tent or whatever. I'm buying more barbecue items or beer or whatever the case may be, right? They have a place, and they're great, and I love them for that. Same as if, like, Ben and I were going to go deep woods camping, I probably wouldn't bring the tent. You know what I mean? Unless we had a specific reason for it, chances
Yeah.
are we'd bring hammocks.
The other thing is that there's a few spots where hammocks are just not appreciated. So a lot of campgrounds and national parks and stuff, some of them actually have rules against them. So, you know, there is that. There is the risk of damaging trees and stuff, and some people don't. You know. Yeah, they just don't appreciate the hammock being there and the risk of harming the trees. And if you don't set them up properly, if you're not using the tree huggers and stuff, you can do a lot of damage. So there is a reason for a tent. It can be a bit more environmentally friendly. But like we said earlier, you can make up for that with a hammock. But it is an extra step. It's another piece of gear you got to take to accommodate something that it just doesn't have.
Exactly. And simply because Mel has now sent me all the pictures and I kind of want to show the stuff off, you heard me talk about the Polish, what are they called, Ben?
Nauvoo?
Lvivs?
Nauvoo?
Lvivs. So anyway, just to give you some idea of on some tents you can get, and these are the ones that I now personally own. If I can figure out how to transition to it. Does that look like we transitioned to something, Ben? It's been a while since I
It
did
looks
it.
like something, buddy.
All right, so this is one of the tarp things. Not
Her?
tarp thing. I guess it's poncho is the better.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So it's a poncho setup. They're fairly big, and they kind of go together. And here's Mel and I both in them because I did get two of them. And
We
they
had to
all go
hire
to.
professional models for this, eh?
I know, right? Well, we wanted to make sure they were good and that they would fit us because they come in three sizes, and I bought the medium. So, you know, there was kind of a some guesswork in there. Excuse me. But anyway, since we've done that, this is the new one that we also picked up. Which, like I said, it's an eight-person tent. It's got that big enclosure. These are options you can get with this stuff that you can't get with tarps. You know what I mean? So you get that screen area. Yeah, that's the rip that's in it that I'm going to fix. But anyway, great big area inside. This is great for people that want to go out with their friends, or they have a bigger family or something like that. Kids is the big thing that we bought them for here, because like I said, another couple we go, you know, like campground camping with and stuff like that, they have a younger fella too. This is going to give them somewhere to be kids. Now, the tent that I actually first started out with, and I don't know if I ever showed you this one better or not, but excuse me. It's just one of these little blue ones. I think it's Oak Trail?
Ozark Trail.
Ozark Trail or something like that. And I spent practically nothing on it. And you hear me always reference the story the first time I took Mosa camping. This is the tent I bought for that. And I still use it to this day. Every year I take it out, I air it out, I re-waterproof it, still works like a champ. You know what I mean? So a lot of people will say, oh, tents, they don't hold up. Everything holds up if you take care of it.
I have one, too. And I think it was one of the first ones me and Missy bought. For same reason. And I think ours is 8x10 or something, or 8x12.
What size is ours? Do you know? It's not that big. I don't even think it's 8x12. It's maybe 8x6 or... It's a three-person tent is what it was originally bought for. Like, I mean, there's the four-wheeler beside it. The four-wheeler would not... It would just barely fit into the footprint. You know what I mean?
You can stand up in mine.
Oh, you can't stand up in this one.
No.
There was a wall you could put up the middle, so you could basically get, like, a queen-size bed on either side. And it's actually the one we had set up on the first bushcraft weekend. I don't know if you'd gotten up to see it.
I think I have pictures of all that stuff, believe it or not. I don't know where they are. That might be a topic for another night. But I have pictures from the original bushcraft gathering somewhere.
Yeah. But,
sure do.
No, I mean...
Oh, Mel might actually have pictures off. She's over there frantically looking. If anybody ever wonders, Melissa is literally my background digital tech, I guess. She's always looking for pictures and stuff for me and sends over to me. So that's where 90% of the pictures come that end up on the channel from my side.
But no, I mean, tents definitely have their places, and I find it's great for families. They definitely are a great thing for families. You mentioned, like, with kids and stuff, in bad weather, you can sit there, you can play games and stuff in it, you can keep them occupied, there's that social aspect we talked about. You know, there are a few disadvantages, and we did talk a little bit about them, and that was... The ground, you know, you want relatively flat and smooth ground. And you need it to be fairly dry. And you do need to be very aware of, like, anywhere that might flood if it rains, where you can get away with that with some of the other options. But tents are still, in that manner, better than tarps.
Oh, for sure.
Although we could easily do a show next week on why tarps are better than tents.
Once again, you know what I mean? There's no right answer to any of this stuff. But so Scott says, we'd love to do a hammock, but the wife and two dogs, it's tents whether I like it or not. And we did mention, if there's multiples off you, tent is the way to go. Because there are such things as two-person hammocks. And they're specifically two-person hammocks. They're like two individual hammocks joined with a little piece of cloth in between. Those are about the best ones I've seen, and Ben and I have looked at those before, and we've made critiques on them and things like that. But neither of us own one, so we're not going to say too much. But that's the best.
Vertex?
Yeah. Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think it's the Vertex. But, yeah, Scott, I understand what you're saying, but I had two dogs, a wife, and kids, and we all sleep in hammocks. In fact, my dogs have their own hammocks.
Now that I have to see.
Rarely have I ever gotten to sleep in it, but and now I'm down to one dog right now, but that's probably a temporary thing, to be honest with you. So there are ways, and my kids, like, I had a
challenge accepted.
What?
I think Scott's gonna give it a go, try and do the hammock camping. Now, granted, that's not all in one hammock, I don't think. Maybe with Ben it is. It's a pretty close-knit family.
I made my daughter's hammocks, and they were small. Like, they were not much off walking, out of curtains.
Hmm.
And I still have them laying around. They're probably in here somewhere. And they were great. They were awesome. We'd hook them up and stuff, and like I said, So it's doable. But honestly, when you're talking about multiple people, tent's cheaper.
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, you could spend a lot on a tent, yes. And you can buy a really cheap hammock, but I don't really recommend buying the cheapest hammock. I recommend going at least middle of the line. Top of the line is probably not overly worth it. But almost every hammock you buy that's lower quality, very first thing you're going to do is, what are you going to change on it, Robert?
Well, let me get the list out, Ben. You're going to change your ropes to straps first and foremost, because all cheap hammocks come with ropes. They don't come with good tree straps. You're going to pull the bound up ends, which are usually ropes, and you're going to replace them with whoopee slings. You're going to have to replace all of your carabiners, because the ones that come with it are not going to be rated for anything. What else are you going to have to change on that? I don't know, man. I got a list. I bought, and what Ben's hinting at here is I did buy a $30 hammock. I did a review on it. It's on our YouTube channel if you want to look at it, be my guest. And it's not a bad hammock. It's not. For
No.
30 bucks, good hammock. But I had to sink more money into it, where if I had just bought a $100 hammock, I would have had all the same things right out of the gate and wouldn't have wasted my time. But it was a learning experience. I don't feel like it was a waste. Ben got to show me a lot of stuff, and I think it was still good. But for somebody that's just not looking to get into a DIY, like Ben said, spend a little extra money. You're gonna come out a little better for it on the other end.
You can go to most box stores, most places, and buy, and even Amazon or whatever, and buy a decent 3 to 4 person tent for a couple hundred bucks.
Or less. Sometimes they go on sale. Oh, I'm trying to think. $129. You get one of those 6-person tents with like two sleeping bags and two chairs and maybe a cooler. Like, it always seems to be about fall, but if you plan ahead, that's the best time to buy some of your camping gear. You know?
And you can, and I mean that's not, like I said, decent, so I'm saying like a mid-range tent. If you're getting all that for $129, you're not getting top of the line stuff by any means.
No.
But you can get a decent quality, like the Cloud Up tent or whatever, I think isn't that bad of a price, but you'd need a bigger one for a family. But you can get a decent tent, whereas in if you had to outfit 3 or 4 people in hammocks, you would be looking at minimum of 30 bucks probably for the hammock itself, another 60 bucks for a decent tarp, $25 for your whoopee slings, another 5, 10 bucks for that's each. So easily $120 probably for each hammock setup. And underquilts. You throw underquilts in there and you're probably 200 bucks.
I'm just bringing one up here, which kind of got stuck in my head. And this is $169.99. Let's see if I can flip over to it and not mess this up. So $169.99, and this is a 4-person ready pop-up tent. Like, literally zero skill involved. If you can flick your wrists out, you can set one of these tents up. Literally, you give it a toss, pops up, it's ready to go. 170 bucks, 4 people can sleep in it. Now set 4 people up for hammocks. You got 4 hammocks, 4 tarps, potentially 4 whoopee slings, 4 tree straps. Like Ben was saying, the cost is just going to add up and up and up and up and up. And I mean, this is a bougie tent. Don't get me wrong. Here's one in brown for 118. Same kind of thing. So if you don't mind the color, you're going to save a bunch of money. But I mean, big tents are way cheaper than gearing that many people up with all the other gear, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you're setting up individually, we bought, like when we upgraded the girls from the curtain hammocks that I had made them, we bought them some Hennessy Scouts. I think they were 120 something dollars. But the nice thing is those show up with everything you need. Like they have a tarp on them. So really, it sounds like you're spending a bit more money when you look at some of the cheaper alternatives, but in the end, it's probably a good price, honestly. But still, if you're outfitting 4 or 5 people, it can take a bit.
Well, I mean, even if you went with the cheap gear I got, Ben, $30 a hammock. What's that? That's 30, 60, 120 just in hammocks for 4 people. My tarp was another 50 bucks. So you're into it for $200 for the tarps. So yeah. What's that? $320. And my hammock did not come with tree straps or whoopee slings, which I think were 20 bucks each again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a lot of money or one tent.
So Scott asked about a little late to the convo. Did you guys discuss specific hammock brands and models you like? I could go on probably for the next couple hours on brands that I like, that I'm interested in, that I've seen, that I've played with. Honestly, I have two here that I use and I can really talk to. And I've seen some much better ones. The top of the line one I've seen, in my opinion, would either have to be the Blackbird. I think that's the name of it. Or the Amok. Both Amok. Were awesome, awesome hammocks that friends of mine own. I don't personally own. So I think it's Warbonnet makes the Blackbird. And Amok might be its own name. And they have a few versions that they had over the years. And the Amok is a unique design in its own.
It's a flatway hammock, is it not?
It is. With the Amok, I liken it to basically it's suspended from your hips, where most hammocks are from the tip of your head to your toe, right? And it has some straps you can adjust so you can raise or lower your head or your feet. So the Amok is really neat there, but there's an air mattress for it, and it's very comfortable, very nice, kind of high end.
I think it would also be tricky to put a tarp over that bed. I was going to ask you about that. Good time to bring it up. How do you tarp one of those suckers down? You would have to have a bigger tarp and just a shallower pitch.
I think it comes with its own tarp, actually.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
And when you add it all up, the Amok, I think, to buy all the accessories and stuff they sell with it, can be over $700.
Now, I'm trying to find...
An Amok?
No. I actually was looking at one the other day, and I sent it to Melissa. So while I look for that, do you have any brands you would avoid? Because once again, Ben knows more about hammocks than I do. I'm not even going to pretend he doesn't. Is there any features specifically you would avoid when it comes to hammocks?
I don't know if there's features I would avoid. I think there's features I definitely like to have. I'm going to put whoopee slings on any hammock I have, honestly. I've had so much luck with them. They're so simple. They work very fine. So if a hammock comes with whoopee slings, that's a selling point to me for sure, because it's an expense to eat. I mean, I make my own, but you still have to buy the rope. I prefer one that has the screen. I like having that option. Some of them have removable screen options. I think that's, if you're thinking you'd ever take one off, a fully removable one might be something worth having. Other than that, after that, it becomes just neat things built-in ridge lines, little bags for holding your stuff up there. Some of them have lines so you can hook your watch or your flashlight or something up over your head. A lot of neat stuff like that, but none of that I think is super necessary. But I do like the screen for sure, and like I said, whoopee slings is something I'd want.
Yeah, I'm not having much luck finding this. It was a lot like an Amok, but it wasn't an Amok. It was another brand.
Yeah, that came on my Facebook feed again later under a different brand, but exact same thing. And when you look at it, it says Amok on it. So I think that may have been a ripoff. You did send me a link to it at one point.
Yeah, that's that one. This is something else again. This is a... do you remember what the name of that tent was that I was looking at? It was the one European built.
You mean the hammock?
Yeah, the hammock tent.
Yeah,
it's somewhere in our conversation. I just can't pull it up. Anyway, this was a different one. Mel's going to look for it. She's a little quicker at finding these things for me. But this was a flatway hammock tent. I seen a review on one. Once again, it's not overly cheap. This is about the $400 range. But same kind of thing. It's not from the hips like the Amic is. This is from the head and foot again, but it's kind of a different design. Oh, you got it?
Yeah.
She's sending it over to me now. I'll see if I can... The Haven something or other? Should be. There it is. Yeah. Haven. Haven Tents. I knew it was Haven something or other. Here, let me pull it up on our handy dandy stuff here.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of like it's a ridge lined hammock tent. And they're just coming out with a extra large version, which is the one I was looking at because that's the only one that's going to fit my fat body, to be perfectly honest with you. But, yeah. Can you see that picture there, Ben? You're kind of my.
I can.
All right, so this is kind of the idea. It's a flat box kind of thing. They come with a, the XLs come with the, you can get the actual pad for them. The pad has an R4.5 or 5 value, I can't remember. They're actually designed for cold weather is the way they sell themselves out. And yeah, this is the one that I'm really curious about. If anybody out there sees this and has had a little experience with this, this is my next big thing I'm saving up for, in all honesty. So I'd be very curious to see how this goes. It comes with the tarp. It's kind of a square box design, flat lay. The way they're designed, they actually say that you can sleep on your side. You can sleep however you want in them, kind of a deal. And for anybody, like we had mentioned this earlier in the show, that if you don't like sleeping on your back, a hammock's not really for you. I don't mind sleeping on my back. My problem is I get sleep apnea. So if I sleep on my back, I snore quite loud, and the thing that comes with the snoring is you can stretch your uvula. You and I were actually out that time up by the lake, and I woke up that morning and my uvula was so stretched out it felt like I was choking, and that's what it was from. It ended up being from sleep apnea. At the time I didn't know, but I very quickly found out right afterwards. But anyway,
yeah, it's pretty neat. You are looking at what, about 350 for one, though? No?
413.23 US. I'll send you the direct link there, Ben.
Well, I'm just looking at it right now. They have the 450. It says Canadian 351 for the Haven XL.
Oh, okay. Maybe I already converted it over on this. I thought it was American, but yeah, anyway, it's bougie. Once again, it's like high end. You are paying some significant money for this. But I think it'd be great for somebody like me that I enjoy the hammock, the whole idea of hammock camping, but I have freaking sleep apnea, which is just kind of a giant bummer.
The Clark Vertex is the one I've always, like, if I was going to fork out big money for it, the Clark Vertex, I think, is the one I would go for.
Clark Vertex. I'd have to check that out. Kind of slightly derailing off topic there now. Actually, Mel just sent me a link to the very original Nova Scotia Bushcraft Gathering. And there's a lot of familiar faces there. I forgot about everybody. I'm just trying to see if your tent is there.
My tent would have been off-site.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You slept on your own little Watt, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I don't think...
Because I had the dogs and all that.
I'll send you the link to this, though, Ben. It's kind of like a blast from the past, and I may include it in the comments of this video, because if anybody's interested, man, there is some decent people there. Like, I see Cole Cravens there. I see Mitch Mitchell. I see the Burtons. It was a good time. It was definitely a good time. Fun times. Anyway, I think that kind of puts to bed tonight's topic anyway. Do you not think, Ben? We've kind of...
Oh, I think so.
Did our nightly tangents.
Yeah, and we definitely ended up on the hammock tangent, which is kind of where we were going away from. Just trying to push the advantage of tents. And I think tents are great. I think hammocks are awesome, too. Don't get me wrong. They both have their purposes. We both own multiple versions of tents. I have the Wild Haven there. I have some standard type tents that I've had over the years.
That Clark Vertex. Yeah, no worries.
That Clark Vertex, I think, if you were fit my wife and two dogs in a yeah. Yeah, no, Scott, for sure. The centerpiece, I think, is rated for like 150 pounds or something. You can easily put kids in there. It's rated for that, and they're neat. It's the most, it's one of the, if I had to buy a hammock right now, I think that would be one that I've coveted after the longest.
Anyway, I'm so far down a rabbit hole looking at old pictures here now. It's not funny. So I think we'll end it up there tonight. We kind of jumped down the hammock side of stuff like we normally do. But hopefully anybody that stayed this long, we did give some good opinions on tents. I think we did. And hopefully we answer some questions out there. Like all our episodes, if you guys have other questions, feel free to contact us. You can get a hold of us at theatlanticbushcraft.ca, and you'll see you can email us or message us or whatever you want to do, or it's podcast@atlanticbushcraft.ca, or just jump on the YouTube channel, Facebook page, whatever, post it up. If you send it to us, we'll definitely find it. It may take us a few days, especially if it goes to the email for some reason. Sometimes things get tied up in the spam box for like a day and then it kicks over, but don't ever think we're purposely ignoring you. We're always checking stuff and I'm frequently going through it. So if you want to talk to us, send us some stuff, and we'd love to hear from you guys, like always.
Oh, yeah. No, we love hearing from people. Just checking the messages, see if we'd missed anything. I don't think we did. So, yeah. Get out there, enjoy yourselves. Send us some pictures. Tell us some stories. We look forward to hearing you.
Night, everybody.
Night, all.